Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Merry Christmas. Christmas can be an extremely busy time of year, and if you're not careful, you can have Christmas without Jesus. You ever had Christmas without Jesus? Christmas without Jesus is just a mess. Christmas. It's like having a birthday party and having a guest of honor never show up. What's this all about? And Christmas can be the same way when we rush through the routine of things. And I think we're intended to pause this time of year and consider the great love of God for mankind. If you're not careful, you can miss the whole purpose and meaning of Christmas and even be a Christian. It's like the time that when Jesus and his family made their yearly trip to Jerusalem, the temple, for a Jewish holy day. And on their return trip home, they discovered that Jesus, their son, was not with them. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I mean, first of all, Mary and Joseph know that Jesus is not just another child. He's the Son of God. Now, how are we going to explain this to God, that we lost your son that you entrusted us with? What are we going to tell God? I don't know what all went through their head, but I know that it had to be a frightening thing to think that in that caravan of people that Jesus wasn't there like they thought he was, and they had to turn around and go back into Jerusalem, and they, of course, found him in the temple, and he was saying to them, "Did you not know I must be about my Father's business?" And they wondered at that. They had to find Jesus. People have to find Jesus for themselves. I mean, the gospel's being preached now, you think about it, over television and radio and satellite. The whole world in some way or another has probably heard the gospel. At least the world's been saturated, covered with the airwaves and so forth like that, where the gospel could be heard. But everybody has to find Jesus for themselves. Paul told some people one time that did not know the Lord and did not know about the gospel. He spoke to them and he said these interesting words in Acts 17:27. He said to them, he said that they should seek God, and they should find him, though he's not far from every one of us. And he was preaching to people at Mars Hill. And they believed in many different kinds of gods. And he said these words, and I want to say them again. And this is what we should be telling people, that people should seek God. They should seek God, and they should find God. Though he's not hard to find, he's not far from any one of us. And that's what we should be telling people today, even people that aren't looking for him. We should tell them they should seek God, and they would find him, and though he's not very far from them. In Christmas time, people are seeing all kinds of things around them that are signs that point to Jesus. So even if you don't know the Lord or don't even believe in the Lord, the signs abound at this time of year. And so we who know the Lord ought to be pretty bold about telling them they should seek Jesus. These signs point to Jesus. All these things that we do at Christmas time, they point to Jesus. The Christmas tree is a sign pointing to Jesus. It's a tree. The Bible says in the book of Acts that Jesus himself was crucified on a tree. Now, we know that was a cross, but it was made out of wood. It came from a tree. And it's not incorrect to say, is this not... Okay, how about if I just use this? Okay. It's not wrong to go ahead and say that Jesus was crucified on a tree, because he was. And so when you look at the Christmas tree, it's a sign at Christmas time pointing to the cross that Jesus died upon a tree. And a Christmas tree is pointing upward. It's a sign that's pointing upward. This is where our hope is. This is where our help comes from. We look to the Lord. And of course, it's an evergreen tree. When everything else is dead, it's still alive. And all of this is just a sign in the natural, pointing to Jesus. And then we have garland wrapped around the trees. Maybe you have garland wrapped around your tree at home. And that's a scripture. The Bible says of the Lord in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, giving me garland instead of ashes. In other words, Christ wraps my life and decorates it with his grace, and he turns even the bad things in my life into something good if I trust him and look to him. Can I have an amen right there? Garland instead of ashes. So there, you can use that as a sign and say, that's a sign. It's pointing to my Savior. It's pointing to my Lord. And of course, all the ornaments, obviously, are signs pointing to Jesus. There's the red ornaments, of course, pointing to the blood of Christ, the white ornaments. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And we're made holy and white. And then the silver represents redemption. Jesus, Judas gave, turned in Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, but Jesus redeemed us. Silver is a sign of redemption. Purple's a sign of royalty. Gold's a sign of a king. Blue is a sign of eternity. You look into the blue sky and you can look as far as you can go, and eternity's farther than that. And green, of course, new life. All these things are signs that point to Jesus. And then there's usually an angel on top of a tree, or there's a star on top of a tree. And of course, the angel announcing his birth, the incarnation, that God is now with us. Now he's one of us. He's become human. He's become flesh. Or a star that which pointed the way. All these things are signs to help people find Jesus. And then, of course, the candy cane even. The candy cane looks like a J when you turn it upside down this way. We say, it's all about Jesus. It's made out of rock-hard candy. Jesus is our rock. Amen. You turn it back upside up, it's a shepherd's crook. Jesus is the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And then you have the bells. And I don't know if churches still do this, but I would love to hear on Sunday morning Christmas bells ringing about 8 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and just announcing all over the world that Jesus Christ is born. Hallelujah. And these are all symbols and signs telling us how to find Jesus. And then, of course, all the lights. Maybe the lights on your house or the lights on the Christmas tree. And it's all about Jesus, who said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. And then after we find Jesus and we know him and we take him as our Lord and our Savior, then he says, you are the light of the world. And that candle in your hand, and in a moment, we're going to do something with it. It's supposed to bring meaning and wonder into your life to make you realize the purpose why you and I are here for such a time as this. Once we receive the light, Jesus, into our life, we become the light. And we are the light so somebody else can find their way in this dark world. And we're not to hide this light under a bushel. We're not to keep this to ourselves. We're to proclaim and tell that Christmas is about Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord has come. It's not just a baby in a manger anymore. He's the Son that was given, that went to the cross, that paid for our sins so that we could be redeemed and be made right with God by his grace. Hallelujah. And then after we find Jesus, we are that light into the world. And then we look in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, it says, And in the same region, there were shepherds and staying out in the fields, and they were keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly before them and stood and said, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terribly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you the gospel. I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all the people. For today," come on, say it with me, "in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The point is, after the angels appeared and they announced the birth of Jesus the Anointed, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the one and only, the Christ, the Son of the living God, made incarnate, now has come into the world. Once they made this announcement, the shepherds still had to go find him. They just told the good news. They made the announcement. But the shepherds had to go find Jesus, and they were given enough information where they could find him. Just like people today are given enough information to find Jesus. Just like Paul said, that you should seek for him and you'll find him. Though he's not far from any one of us, you can find him. And it says in Luke 2:16, so these shepherds, they came in haste and they found their way to Mary, Joseph, and the baby. Whether people know it or not, every person on this earth is on a journey to find Jesus. That's what this is all about. You're on a journey to find Jesus for yourself. So what Paul told people in his day, we must tell our family, we must tell our friends, we must tell the unbelievers and our neighbors that they should seek God and find him. Though he's not far from any one of us, he's close by. They should seek him and find him for themselves. Why is it hard for some people to come to know the Lord in a personal way, be saved, be born again? And why is it easier for others? The disciples asked Jesus one time, "Why do you speak to people in parables?" And his answer is very revealing. He said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it has not been granted." Why? Because of relationship. The disciples were closer to Jesus than those who just came to hear him preach every now and then. The disciples were closer to him, and because of their closeness to him, because of their relationship with him, because of their intimacy with him, they heard and they heard things that other people didn't hear, and they saw things that other people didn't see. And the same is true with you. You're as close to Jesus as you want to be. And the closer you get to him, you'll begin to see things and understand things. And you say, "Well, I've read that 100 times in the Bible," but then one day the lights turn on and you go, "Wow, what happened was your relationship, you got closer." The closer you get, the more you'll see him in everyday things in your life. Jesus said it himself in John 14:21. He said, "He who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest or disclose myself to him. I'll make myself known to the one who loves me." If you take the time to find Jesus, then he says, he promises he'll disclose himself. He'll manifest himself to you in a personal way. And you will know him. And you will see things that others do not see, and you will hear things that others do not hear. Let me prove that to you. 8 days later, Jesus was dedicated at the temple in Jerusalem. That was the Jewish custom, day of circumcision. 8 days later, they go into the temple area. And I don't know if you are familiar with what the temple looked like in Jerusalem, but there was a big courtyard area, probably as big as this, at least as big as this auditorium is right here. And so you could have 1,000 people roaming around just during in the temple area, and maybe several hundred people. And on this particular day, Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, they're going to dedicate their baby. And I'm sure there were probably some other parents with their little boy or little girl, or they would come to dedicate their child as well. And so there's a whole bunch of people around. And remember, Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus didn't have halos on their head like some of the pictures you see. They look like normal, everyday people. And they're going into the temple, and they're ready to dedicate their child. And there was an old man there by the name of Simeon. And it says he was praying for the peace of Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was under Roman rule and under the tyranny of the Roman government, the Roman Empire. And he was praying, oh God, get your people free from this Roman tyranny. He was praying for the peace of Jerusalem, praying for the peace of Israel. But God brought a different kind of peace, a kind of peace you can have peace with God. And Simeon was close to God. He spent time in prayer. He was daily in the temple. And when Mary and Joseph come in with crowds of other people around and this little baby, his discernment was so keen, he picked up on right away, this is the one. This is the one. And he runs up to them and he talks to them and he tells them things. He tells Mary a prophecy that's going to take place about this child. And he recognizes that this child is not just another child. This is the Son of God in flesh, a little baby. How would you know? Intimacy. When you're close to the Lord, you see things other people don't see. You hear things other people don't hear. Simeon saw something. He knew this was the Messiah. And he held the baby in his arms and he said, now, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. You've answered my prayer. You've let me my eyes see your Messiah, the Savior. And Mary and Joseph just treasured these things in their heart. He said, wow, this is amazing. And not long after that meeting, they start to go on their way and they come into another person. Her name was Anna. And the Bible says she daily stayed in the temple in prayers and much fasting. In other words, she spent time with God in intimacy. And she, too, instantly spotted that this child, out of all the others, is different. This child is the Messiah. This child is God's Son. How could she have known? She was close to God. And when you're close to God, you see things that other people don't see. You hear things that other people don't hear. They found Jesus in this crowd. And it's amazing to me to think that there were people all around going through their religious services and doing their religious things and all this stuff to make themselves feel good and walking right by the Son of God and not even knowing who it was. He was right there. Finding Jesus. Intimacy. He's not hard to be found. It's the result of a journey of the Holy Spirit. The very first question in the New Testament is the one the Magi had. And they said, where is he who is born the King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and we've come to worship him. And those wise men had four responses that I want to present to you. Four responses in finding Jesus that everyone will have if you find Jesus. And it says in Matthew 2:11, and they came to the house and saw the child. Now, this was after Bethlehem. This was after the stable. This could be about a year later when the Magi, the wise men came. This wasn't at the same time the shepherds saw the baby being born. This could have been about up to a year later, because now they're living in a house. And so they came to the house, not the stable, and they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And these wise men who traveled a long ways, they saw the child and they fell down and they worshiped him, opening their treasures, and they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The four responses to finding Jesus are very clear. Number one, they saw the child. They saw the child. And that's a very, it's not just just perceiving something. When they saw him, it's the Greek word heuresko, which means to find out for oneself. To find out for one's self. You can't live off other people's revelation. You got to find out for yourself who Jesus is. You got to find out for yourself. Do you see him? Do you see him in the season? Do you see him in all the signs and the symbols that are about Christmas that are all around us? They saw the child. Number two, they fell down. In other words, they were in awe. They were overwhelmed by the revelation. They were humbled in themselves that this is God in the flesh. And overwhelmed at seeing God incarnate, God in the flesh. This is the prophecy come true. Emmanuel, God with us. They fell down in awe. Number three, they worshiped him. They worshiped him. That's the Greek word proskune. And it means it means to just fall prostrate on the ground before him. They were humbled and they were declaring. The whole purpose of their journey that could have taken them up to a year, at least several months from the east, probably Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, somewhere over in that area. These wise men traveled following the star, following the signs to find Jesus. And they said the whole purpose of their journey was this: we have come to worship him. That's the whole purpose of church. We have come to worship him. It's not come to hear the preaching. It's not come to hear the singing and all that can be part of it. It's not come to build a big building or anything like that. It's come to worship him. We have come to worship him. And every time we gather together, Sunday, Wednesdays, any other times, that's the purpose. We have come to worship him, to bow down before him, to resubmit our lives to him, to resurrender to him, to be in awe of him, to know that his plans for us and for our lives are greater than our plans for our lives. And then they saw the child, they fell down, they worshiped him. And number four, they opened their treasures. Interesting. One's translation says, they opened their coffins. They opened their coffins. In other words, family treasures that were passed down through their family line that were so special to them that there's no money value that could ever touch the preciousness of that gift, something that was handed down through their family line, maybe their great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, grandmother, and it was precious to them and certainly valuable, and it would be something that you would keep, and then on your deathbed, you would pass it on to somebody else in your family line, your son or your daughter or your grandchildren. And these are the treasures they brought, the very best of what they had, they brought to him. And some of those gifts were gold for a king, frankincense for the priest. That would be something he would add to the offerings of prayer, the incense. And then myrrh, the fragrance used in death to cover the body. And once you find Jesus, no one has to pry your heart open to give him your very best. Once you really find him, you want to give him your very best. He's not hard to find. But in the Christmas season, if you're not careful, you can just have Christmas and not see Jesus. He's not hard to find. And so you should tell your neighbors and tell your friends and tell your lost family members, you need to seek God and you need to find him. And he's not very far from you. And now you say you found him, then you should see him all around you. You see him in that Christmas tree. You see him in those decorations. You see him in the Christmas bells. All the signs of Christmas are pointing to Jesus. And if you have been blessed to be born from above, have been born again, you've received Jesus as your Lord, your God, and your Savior, and you're following him, then you, my friend, have been given the privilege of having the light of the world to come be inside you. And that's what this candle is. It's not just to have a nice candlelight service. There's a meaning that's to stay with us. This is you. You're here for a short period of time, and then it's over. And while you're here, your mission and your purpose is to carry the light, not your own, but the light of the Lord that you've received, and be a light to a dark world. There are people that'll never come to church that you rub elbows with. You're the only light they have. You're the only gospel, and you're to be that light. And so as we come to the close of this service on this beautiful Christmas Eve, let us remember why we're here, why he came, why he bothered to save us. He came so we would find him. I don't know about you, but I found him. I found him. More or less, really, he found me. And he made it look like I found him. And now I have this light that I'm responsible for as long as I'm here to carry this light out into this world and make him known. Not to draw attention to me, but to draw attention to him. Amen. Father, I thank you for the blessing of Christmas. Thank you, God, that we are here tonight as a testimony we have found Jesus, or you have found us, and you are the light of the world, and you've called us to carry your light into the world and to make a difference. And wherever the light shines, the darkness flees. Hallelujah. So we will take this responsibility and remember on this Christmas Eve why you came and why we're here. We must carry your light into this world. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. You are the light of the world.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.